So this is where the structure that we're working on was sitting, you think?
Yeah, this is exactly where this structure
where
was.
Where would the walnut grove be?
The 2,700 acres at James and Dolly Madison's Montpelier estate looked like a winter postcard when the 16 of us arrived for log cabin building school. Our eyes got real big when we approached the worksite and saw the huge pile of logs. We weren't here to stack prefab, pre-cut pieces of wood to construct a slave cabin. There was proof of how this 1790s cabin was made and where it stood, in full view of the Madison's mansion. You see, many slave owners wrote letters and kept meticulous notes. Matthew Reeves is director of archaeology and landscape restoration at Montpelier. He's leading efforts to find all the demolished slave dwellings there.
What we can do is help people begin, you know, visitors begin to imagine what this plantation looked like, that it wasn't just the Burke Mansion set in a pretty green lawn.
Reeves says they're striving for authenticity. He wants the public involved in this transformation of the grounds, and a diverse group answered his call. 12 men, 4 women, 3 African Americans, a couple of restorationists, a Washington, D.C. lobbyist, a DuPont chemist, and more. We didn't have to chop down the 30 trees needed for this 16 by 20 foot cabin, but we had to debark, juggle, score, hew, and notch each log, or at least try. Craig Jacobs of Salvage Rights Architectural Antiquities out of Orange, Virginia, taught us what we needed to know. I was afraid of using those 150-year-old broad axes. They looked like a weapon a Viking would use. I was more into debarking with a draw knife.
Bark does not peel off that easy, does it? Okay.
Eric Larson is an archaeologist from Arlington, Virginia. Larson says he jumped at the chance to be here.
I told people, my friends, that I was coming here, and they kind of looked at me and they said, well, they're not going to let you use anything sharp, are they? And, you know, sure enough, first day, here we are with the axes and the chainsaws and the draw knives and everything.
Larson says with every chop, he couldn't help but think about the enslaved people who would have lived in a cabin like this.
Just part of the learning for me is just realizing, one, how much labor and craftsmanship is really involved in this, and then thinking about who it was who was doing that work, and their circumstances.
Yeah, now I just thought about it too. You just want it to be really good?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
There were emotional times for all of us at Montpelier. You see, we didn't just work together, we lived together in an 1840s era home on the grounds. We ate most of our meals together, and with no TV and sparse internet and phone service, we sang together. Come on, not Negro spirituals. We're more of a UB40, red, red wine kind of group. We all paid $1,000 each to participate in this slave cabin project. Audra Medvey is a preservation manager for 3 National Trust of Historic Preservation Sites.
What a privilege to better understand. However, can you really? I mean, it's not the middle of the summer. You're not doing it sun up to sundown. You can leave and break whenever you want to. You can drink as much water as you want to. So you can kind of get a concept of the methods and tools they used, but you can never truly understand what happened, you know, centuries ago.
Medvey believes slavery is not adequately interpreted at many historic sites, but she hopes with workshops like this one that will change. In April, there are plans to rebuild 2 to 3 slave cabins at Thomas Jefferson's Monticello. Leonida Inge, North Carolina Public Radio, WUNC.